somehow the Lord does move in mysterious ways. I wanted to speak to us this morning about our Bible reading and the fact that our theme for this quarter is we are love-centered. And I'm going to do that, but probably just a little bit different context than I would have had circumstances not been the same. I don't know how you are about singing, but singing, I think, does for me what the Lord intended for singing to do for us. I've never been a great singer. I can carry a tune. In the last 5 years or so, my voice has had a lot of problems. I get ready to sing and I draw in a breath and I cough instead of sing. If you've sat in front of me, you've probably heard that or noticed that. And I'm sorry about that if I have offended anybody in that way, but it's not about how I sound that really matters. It's about what these things say. And there are two songs that I wanted to think about, just a verse of this morning as I begin. One of them is number 136, Faith of Our Fathers. Thought about this many times as I have traveled to do work for the Lord, trying to do good, trying to do what is right. And this passage teaches us about what people in the past have done. They've been out working on behalf of God. Hasn't always worked out. But they've always loved the Lord, and they've always been faithful. They've always done what they believe they should do. The second verse particularly says, our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, that is the children, you and me, if you will, if they, like them, could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. And then another song that has touched me in the same way that one has is number 150. This is a song using the idea that Jesus is saying, follow me. Do what I do. Live my life. We teach a class called The Life of Christ, and what we try to do is teach the way Christ lived. And we try to imitate that life, and we fall woefully short. But if we think about what this song says in a number of ways, we will recognize what it takes to be like Jesus. The third verse says, oh, Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, it would be no more than love demands. No less could I repay. No greater love has mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can your glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. When I think about Roberta this morning, I'm thinking about those two verses. I'm thinking she did just that. She died on a foreign field, and I believe she died on a foreign field following the Lord. I'm full of a lot of things today, full of hurt, full of sadness, full of just misery. Lost a good friend, lost a great worker, and I wish I weren't feeling this emotional in one way, and yet I'm glad I am, because we're love-centered. We're people who love each other. We're people who love God. Now think about that. Think so much about what I'm full of today as I was thinking about this lesson. I have some brothers who preach who would never preach a message, we are love-centered, because they see love as something that's soft and mushy and will give in to anything. And just tell everybody we love them no matter what they believe, no matter what they do. And I have some brothers that probably may be one in this audience. Boy, I sure hope not. In fact, there's a preacher that almost everybody in this room would know if I mentioned his name. He was visiting at Estes one day. And he was visiting Estes in part because the congregation where he preached, he thought he was hearing too much about love. He may have been hearing some things in a way that should not have been preached, but we will never hear too much about love. When we begin to think about what God demands of us in love, and we start thinking about what love is about, and we start saying we are love-centered, we better get ready to be active. We better get ready to do some things that are unthinkable. If you're here this morning and you think you love the Lord, but you came to worship, and that's pretty much what you do, I am ready to tell you, you don't love the Lord in the way the Lord requires you to love. If you have a good feeling about Jesus and you have some faith in Jesus that He died for you, and that is the heart of your Christianity, and it doesn't move you to do what God requires and requests of you, then you are not love-centered. I want to read to you from a particular translation here, the New Living Translation, just because of how it reads. This is Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Please listen to it. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom He loves, clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive. You must forgive. The most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. Do you attend a perfect church? Love is what binds us together in perfect harmony. When we start thinking about that phrase, what an amazing passage it is. Love binds us together in perfect harmony. I don't know how well some of you knew Roberta. Some of you, in fact, quite a number of you, have been to Haiti and you've worked with Roberta and you've had a chance to see what she does. But I'm telling you, she was a love person. She was love-centered. And today, as you pray, I want you to think about what I'm thinking about for the next moment or two here. This morning, we started getting information about Roberta's death last night. Continued late into the night. Early this morning, we got up and the phone was ringing. Jan was sitting on the bed this morning as she was getting ready. And I went in to talk with her for a minute. And we talked a little bit about Roberta and what all she does. And Jan, just in somewhat a frustrated sounding voice to me, but a sad voice, said, "What a great hole. What a great hole." I started thinking about that hole. And when you pray, this morning there were 22 kids living at Sunlight Children's Home that Roberta lived with and cared for and fed, took to church, did what they needed in terms of teaching in school and discipline and whatever children need. 22 of them. So you need to pray for the kids at Sunlight Children's Home. There's a sweetheart of one of her kids here in school this semester. She's not here this morning. Mishmana, I hope you've met her. She's a beautiful girl, but a beautiful spirit. She is one of Roberta's kids. She needs your prayers. She needs your encouragement. You need to pray for her. Many of you will remember Widlord Thomas. He graduated just a short time back. He is in Haiti working. He is helping with the guest house that the Estes Church got so that many mission groups could stay we kept having trouble finding a place to stay, and Esther stepped up and bought this place, and it's a great place. It's a wonderful place. And as I think about that, and I think about Whitlord, who is overseeing the work of that guest house now, Whitlord was one of the first kids that came to Roberta when they started keeping children in their home. He's now graduated. He has a wedding planned in 2 weeks. Can't tell you what's in his heart and what's in his mind. He called Roberta Mom. She was his adopted mother, but he called her Mom. And when I think about what Whitlord has done and what he is, and I think about the impact that Roberta's had on his life and the preaching and teaching that he's doing in Haiti now, his upcoming wedding, we need to pray for Whitlord Thomas. There are about 120 children who, if it were not for Roberta and her nutrition program, would not eat well. She feeds them breakfast and lunch Monday through Friday. And she's told me that some of the kids that go home on Friday get almost nothing to eat over the weekend until they come back for breakfast on Monday. I went to Haiti last month to talk to Whitlord. Jesse Robertson and I went. We went to talk about the work in Haiti, but we went to talk about the marriage of Karen and Whitlord, talk about their relationship, do some premarital counseling. Roberta was around, and as we did all of that, we got to see several things. Jesse and I visited at Sunlight, and there was a group of women there who were working sewing. Roberta has encouraged, some of you may have sent a sewing machine or you paid for a sewing machine. These women are working in order to help find food for their families, and Roberta has them working, sewing things. She is letting them provide uniforms for children. It's an amazing blessing what she's doing. We need to pray for those ladies, because unless somebody steps up to help them in the way Roberta was, their business will cease. They will not have the income. They will not have the help that they've had. I spoke on the phone last night to Laura Edwards, Roberta's mom. She said, I've got to get my daughter home. We need to pray for Robert and Laura. We need to think about the church. You cannot feature what Roberta does for the churches in Haiti generally, but specifically in Port-au-Prince. The campaign groups, I doubt if Roberta is in town, there's ever been a campaign group in Port-au-Prince that Roberta did not help in some way. Now, if you're thinking about love, love is the most important clothing you must wear. It is what binds us all together in our efforts. Love binds in perfect harmony. The perfect church displays loving conduct. If you think that just that feeling, that gushy, mushy feeling that we talk about when we're in love, if you think that's what love is, you need to take a look again at what I've just said Roberta has been involved in. You must bear with each other. Make allowances for each other's faults. Verse 13 says here in Colossians 3, forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And this present tense emphasizes a continual action. You don't stop doing that. You don't stop loving because somebody doesn't act loving back toward you. You don't stop loving because you get tired. You don't stop loving for any reason. You keep on loving. That's what God did. That's what God does. That's what we must do if we are going to display the loving conduct that God wants us to have. Love binds us in perfect harmony, and if it does, this perfect church is going to exemplify a loving character by wearing proper clothing. If you didn't know Roberta, My personal opinion is she was not the most well-dressed person, even in Haiti. She wore a lot of clothes that people gave her and was very proud to do it. But maybe the most well-dressed person in Haiti, I don't know that, but she would have to be at the top. Because if you look on the screen at what God says, the character we must wear, that we must put on as spiritual clothing, she had in every way compassion, mercy and concern with the implication of sensitivity and compassion, kindness that extends tangible benefits to the other person. There was a story that I read about a person going through a coffee drive-through window and was going to buy a mocha, and I would have had to have help from Cora to tell me what that was a few times ago, but she went through and she said, "I want to buy a cup of mocha for the person in the car behind me." The person was surprised and took the money. The next car came. Your mocha is paid for by the person that just drove off. Would you believe for 2 hours that went on at that window? Every car that came that received a mocha wanted to buy one for the car behind them. For 2 solid hours, that kind of kindness was exemplified toward other people that they did not know. That's the kind of thing that love is going to bring about in life. And then humility, modestly viewing ourselves. I read a story about the lead singer of the rock band Stone Temple Pilots. I'd never heard of the band, still don't know anything about it other than the name and other than reading the name of this guy. But he was arrested for drug use and drug abuse. And he began to think about himself. And here's one of the things that he said: "I must have humility in my life. As a rock star, I'm arrogant, I'm full of pride." And he started talking about himself in the ways that he looked at life as a rock star. And he said, "I've got to have some humility in my life." And then he said, "It's not me thinking less of myself. It's me thinking of myself less." You see, most of us are full of love for ourselves and we take care of ourselves. And we need indeed not to think less of ourselves, but to think of ourselves less. And then gentleness and attitude and behavior in contrast with rudeness or harshness in dealing with other people. We need gentleness toward one another. When I think about a loving congregation, that's what we need to see. That's what will bind us together in perfect harmony. It's not that great, wonderful feeling of being in love. It is that putting on the spiritual garments that we see on the screen and then many, many more. The perfect church reflects a loving God. God loves us this morning. The world would want to say, how could God love Roberta Edwards and permit what happened last night to happen? I don't know all of the answers to that, but I do know that God permits us to make choices. Somebody made a horrible choice last night to murder, to kidnap. We couldn't be who we are without that choice. Everybody in this room has the same choice. You can be a murderer if you choose. You can be a kidnapper if you choose. Or you can reflect the character of a loving God. In verse 12, if you look back up there, since God chose you to be the holy people whom He loves. God chose you to be the loving people whom He deserves. Paul could just as well said, since God sent Jesus as a sacrifice for your sins. Or he could have said, since Jesus died to remove your problem with sin. Or he could have said, since you have been set free from your sins to live a new life in Christ. Or since your old nature has been replaced with Christ's nature. love the way God loves you? I don't know that I can. But when I can finally fathom the extent of God's love for me in Jesus Christ, a loving relationship with other people is going to be a natural outflow. I saw that in Roberta. I would like to see it in me in a greater way. This morning, it's a hard day. It's an understandable day in many ways. I am thankful that I've been blessed to know Roberta, to be with her a lot. She stayed in our home every time she came until she bought her own house here in Henderson. Spent a lot of time over the last 15 years or so in Haiti with her. I've been to Haiti every year, sometimes two times, one time, three times in a year. And I appreciate your help. You've helped me. I appreciate the support you've given to Roberta, that you've given to the church. But as we think about loving God, it requires all of us to step up and love God the way that He loves us, by submitting to His will. It may be that there are people in this room, at least one, who has never loved God enough to tell God, I believe in you, I trust in you, I want to repent of my sins, and I want to be buried with you in baptism so that I can be raised with you to walk in newness of life. That's the way a real love for God begins, with our birth into Christ. There may be one person in here whose heart has hardened with regard to the love of God, whose heart has hardened toward people who've been unloving, who've been unforgiving. God's giving you a great opportunity this morning to let love lift you up. If you need to respond to the Lord, my hope and my prayer is this morning that you will walk away from this building being able to say, love lifted me. Please come if you need, as we stand and as we sing.